Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, where we bring the movers, shakers, and game changers in the world of public speaking. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and today we're diving into the financial stratosphere with a tenacious titan in the industry. Today we're tapping into the mind of Chad Hufford, the maestro behind Veritas Wealth Management. Hailing from the untamed wilderness of Anchorage, Alaska, Chad's journey isn't just about dollars and cents. It's a full-throttle exploration of how finance, fitness, faith, and family converge to create a life of true abundance. As a heavyweight in financial planning and a certified Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro, Chad doesn't just talk the talk, he walks that walk right to the top of the mountain, managing a staggering $500 million for families across the US. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. When he's not crunching numbers or sculpting financial futures, Chad's a powerhouse speaker and coach, igniting audiences with his unique blend of financial wisdom, athletic prowess, and unwavering faith. So whether you're a seasoned investor, an aspiring speaker, or just someone hungry for the life of purpose and prosperity, be prepared to soak in the wisdom of a man who's not just in the game, he's changing it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Chad Hufford to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.
Kelly, thank you so much for having me. And I just have to say that was a tremendous introduction. I'm going to do my best to live up to that and deliver to your audience.
I have no doubts at all. I have zero doubt. I know this is going to be so much fun. So I always like to delve into not just the why. What was your journey and what was the why and the catalyst that sent you in the direction that you are living in today?
There's a lot of events that happened in the background that I didn't really see as being pivotal at the time. And I'll just give you a few examples. Back before Dave Ramsey, there was a guy named Larry Burkett, and he used to create financial-based Bible studies for churches all across the nation. It was called Crown Financial. And my parents taught this stuff, my dad specifically. My dad was in the financial industry when I grew up, and he retired about the same time I went to college. But I grew up where finances and money were just a normal part of conversation. And I didn't realize that was abnormal. I didn't realize people didn't talk about money, and we just didn't have those open conversations at a dinner table, because we did at our house. So that was huge, just being able to normalize topics in finances that most people don't share. They keep hidden, they keep close to the vest, they hide their shame, they cover their mistakes, but they also don't talk about their wins. The other piece is seeing the impact that finances have in people's lives. I remember people walking up to my dad, maybe bumping into him at church or at a restaurant, and just telling them how his coaching helped change their life. And it wasn't just about money. They were talking about how their life got better. Money was just an avenue, it was a tool. So I think that laid a lot of the groundwork. But Kelly, to make this short and concise, my degree is actually in biochemistry. I was going into medicine.
Interesting.
And I had a pivot because ultimately I wanted to own a practice rather than have a job that owned me. And I still have all of my interest in medicine that I ever had. I still am fascinated by it. In fact, I was just talking to a friend of mine this morning who's a plastic surgeon down in Pennsylvania. But so I still nerd out on that stuff. But my why has always been to help people live life with more freedom and live in a better place, to become a better version of themselves. I thought I was going to do that through medicine, being able to put people back together and through surgery and things like that. I've just learned how to do that through finances, how to put people's life together, back together through finances and help them feel more freedom and abundance.
That's just an incredible mission in life to have. And I know certainly there are so many people out there that need some help with this. So I'm glad that you're out there doing what it sounds like. You're not just in your lane. You were really brought into this so organically with your dad. And you've talked about a couple mentors of yours, dad being one of them, it sounds. What then inspired you to establish Veritas Wealth Management? And what's the driving force behind that work? I'm curious.
It was the last turning point, or maybe the final push happened on a plane flight. So I graduated, I had my biochemistry degree, and I was second guessing the medical career. And I'm on a plane, I read a book called Simple Wealth, Inevitable Wealth. And it's by another gentleman who's become a mentor of mine. His name is Nick Murray, fantastic human being and a great communicator. Let's be honest, a lot of people in the financial space, very intelligent, not great communicators. This guy is both. And I read this and I thought, this is everything I had learned up to that point in my life. This is how our family lived. These were how the most successful people around us lived. And I was like, this is the message that needs to get out there. This is how I change people's lives. This is how I can re-engineer somebody's trajectory. And that was it for me. And after I read that book, it was a matter of how do I turn this into a business? How to make this come to fruition? How do I feed my young family doing this? And of course, I didn't know it at the time, but we were right about to come up on the 2008, 2009 financial collapse. So it was a really rough time to start a financial practice, especially with a biochemistry degree, but a lot of perseverance, a lot of grit, determination, a lot of prayer, a lot of support from friends and family. And there were some really lean years, Kelly, but it's been life-changing for me. It's been life-changing for the folks we work with. And I can't imagine doing anything more fulfilling or impacting.
It was very clear with your bio and the research that we did on you that, you know, family is really important to you. And these values really matter, the importance of family and community. And how do you integrate these into your professional life at Veritas and with your clients? Is that part of what you impart to people when you're working with them? Because it sounds like you're very, I don't want to say full service, very, it's an integrated approach that you take.
But it has to be integrated because too many financial professionals are focused on the finances. They're focused on the investment, which might sound funny, but let me just give you an analogy. If somebody was trying to get in better shape, and our focus was getting them a treadmill that went faster, that's not the problem. The problem is that their treadmill is at home in the basement as a glorified clothes hanger. They're not on it. Making it go faster is not going to help. Somebody, we talk about podcasting and some of the nuances of this industry. Yeah, you need a good mic and things like that. But somebody who can't communicate, you buy them a better mic and a better sound filter and all that, it really isn't going to change the experience that much. The person individually has to change. So I just believe money is a tool. And if we are going to operate better with money, we have to change as a person. We have to change with our attitude towards money, our behavior with money, and really our outlook in the future in general. We honestly have to come to a place where we have a better relationship with our future self. And a person can't do that, if they can't fundamentally change and become a better manager of the money that they have, more money is not going to fix that problem.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree with that more. Now, so you're able to really take anybody at any point in their financial, wherever they are in their financial picture, or do you have a criteria by which you work with people? What is required to have the opportunity to work with you?
Because what we're doing is more coaching and planning than anything else. Yes, we do the standard money management, the investment management, building portfolios and all that. But again, it's the application execution. What we're really looking for are people who are willing to be coached or willing to change their behavior, willing to look at things differently. Because let's face it, we have normalized bad financial behavior, being in debt, people trying to time the markets. Every time there's bad news, they get scared. They pull their money out of their 401k, or at least they pull it out of their funds. They maybe hide in cash for a while. There's so much bad behavior. And you can't just give somebody a better plan and a better investment. You have to teach them how to use it. I have a 16-year-old daughter and she's starting to drive. I can't give her a faster car and expect her to get better results with that. She has to learn the basic fundamentals. And this isn't an education thing. It's a character thing. people have to become a different person. They can't just learn more about finances, much, much more than they can just learn more about nutrition. There's a McDonald's right next door to us. I see people making bad health decisions all day long, knowing full well that they're not doing something positive to their body. That's why changing the perspective is so important. So this is a long-winded answer. Now I'll wrap it up here, but it's people who are willing to do the hard things now so the life can be better in the future. They're coachable, they're trainable, and they're willing to pay a price now to reduce long-term suffering, long-term regret. But they have to be willing to do things differently, to be different than the crowd around them, because this world is not managing money correctly. This world is not managing their futures correctly. And that's why scarcity and greed and fear are so common when it comes to finances. And that's what we're trying to change.
And don't you feel there's more money out there now? There's more opportunity available than has ever been available in the history of at least how long you and I've been along or been around. There's so much out there, but there's also a lack of focus and discipline that it sounds like your parents brought you up with, mine as well. And that seems to be missing these days. People are distracted. People are making decisions that are going to have it's a momentary experience that could have deadly, financially deadly results.
And that's part of the problem, is people are choosing short-term comfort over long-term security. They're doing what's easy in the moment instead of what's right in the long-term. And we live in a microwave society. You and I both know that, Kelly. We want 6-minute abs, 5-minute rice, 1 minute, whatever. We want to buy now, pay later. That's what we want. That's what our society has come to expect. And in finances, it's a slow build. And you ask who our ideal clients are, our favorite people to work with are blue collar millionaires. They're people that have learned discipline and patience, that are willing to do relatively mundane things that are hard, that might not be celebrated, but do them with excellence anyway, because they know in the long run it'll pay off. And that transfers right over to their money management. People who are looking for a celebration or some glorious, exciting new investment, they're usually fads. They're usually chasing more of a gamble or a speculation than true investment. So it's people that are willing to do the dirty work, do the hard work, that really end up finding success in investing, and not just in money, but in life in general.
So what really differentiates your program is you play the long game about doing things right, building a good foundation, having a good plan, sticking to it. Sounds like that certainly the character qualities that I grew up with, and it sounds like this is very much character driven.
Let me just try to succinctly put it this way. A lot of financial professionals are out there promising to help you find better investments. Our promise is to help you become a better investor. And those are two completely different things.
That's beautiful. I definitely see the differentiation point right there. We're good. So let's talk about your book, because I know that this is going to tie in perfectly. You have a new book you launched called Forging Financial Freedom.
Yes, ma'am.
And I love knowing, okay, what made you make that decision? Was it just a tactical one, a strategic one? And what message do you hope that readers will take away from it?
The book has been a long play in progress. And what I mean by that is we've been collecting stories and experiences for a long time and realizing that they all condense down into a few lessons that really make a huge impact. And this isn't going to be a checklist of here's all the things to do to build wealth. It's really lessons about how to think and behave differently around money and to have, again, a better relationship with the future version of yourself. It's as much of a mindset book as it is a financial book. And we specifically, as we started to look at these patterns, we noticed that when it comes to planning for the future, we all face problems. We're as human beings, again, we are wired to live in the moment, quick wins. We want immediate gratification. Like, those are all human being traits. That's just natural. It's part of our DNA, all of us. But when it comes to planning for the future, the nature of the Alaska oil field and the oil industry in general has a tendency to magnify and amplify a lot of the challenges that everybody faces. So we thought, what would happen if we used that to amplify these lessons, these messages? So we interviewed several hundred Alaska oil field workers and dozens of oil field workers all over the United States and a couple hundred blue collar millionaires, and just got their stories, condensed them to 7 real life lessons about how to think and behave differently with money so you can have more freedom and a more abundant life.
That's really cool. Do you think people have a money story that carries with them, or and that you can change that money story midway?
I think we all have things that affect how we deal with money. Unfortunately, a lot of them are wounds. And while the wounds may heal, they still leave scars. And I was talking with Dave Ramsey about this a couple months ago in between presentations at an event he put on. And he's got his own scars. And we talked about that. And he just, I don't think they ever go away. But the point is to be mindful of that. So you're not trying to overcompensate for those old wounds. You let those wounds heal, but they're still going to leave a mark. But it's something you can point back to and say, this is an experience I used to have. I grew up in scarcity, or I grew up with greed, and people use, maybe my parents use money to manipulate, whatever it was. There's a scar there, but it may impact me, but doesn't have to define my future. I'm going to recognize that and move on. And yes, I believe people can absolutely change if they want to, if they really want their future bad enough. Change is definitely possible.
And you help with that.
Do that's it's but again, people have to come and be coachable. And some people come not looking for advice, they're looking for affirmation. I know you deal with this too. They come to you and they want you to pat them on the back and say, everything you're doing is perfect. Keep doing what you've always done, and hopefully you'll start getting different results. But people who come and say, something's missing. And maybe things are going good, but I want to go from good to great. I want to go from great to excellent. But they have to be willing to do something different, because there's a pain point, there's something missing that isn't allowing their financial path to be as confident, as clear as they'd like. But like I said, we can't just change the tools. We have to change the operator of those tools. And that's what this book is about. It's about changing how we fundamentally interact with our future, with investments, and with money itself.
I think this book sounds like a must have. I think people need to have this book. I know that it's important to me. I can think of several people I need to send this book to as we speak that have a money story that's not serving them. So talk to me about Dave Ramsey. What drew you to Dave Ramsey and becoming, I assume from the beginning, a bit of a mentor for you?
I came to Dave Ramsey kicking and screaming a little bit, because I had been very turned off by a lot of financial celebrities. There's a lot of folks out there that aren't really giving very good advice, or their advice changes all the time. They're trying to stay relevant rather than telling the truth. And I was apprehensive to listen to anybody. But when I finally gave Dave Ramsey a chance, it was actually reading his book, Total Money Makeover. And it was totally on me. I was just stubborn, Kelly. And a friend of mine's like, if you're not going to listen to him, at least read his book. So I did. And I was like, you know what? So I'm probably 32 at this point. And I thought, for the last 3 decades, these are the principles that I've seen work. And they've worked for anybody. I don't care if you're a plastic surgeon making $1 million a year, or if you're a truck driver making 50. These principles work for everyone. And I thought, I've got to know more. And this is an organization I want to partner with and I want to grow with. And it's been a tremendous relationship.
Ooh, that's fantastic. So now I want to ask you about public speaking. Now that we've moved from dealing with this celebrity guy, and now you're coming out and you've got the book, tell me how public speaking has affected your career and the growth of your business.
That's actually one of the ways I started, is speaking to groups of educators. And this was, again, back in 2008, 2009. And what I learned very quickly is, when people are experiencing a lot of emotions, and finances are a very emotionally charged topic, you have to connect with people at a deeper level. Charts and statistics and numbers don't connect with a lot of people. And when you're talking one-on-one, you have a conversation, you can back up and someone can say, I didn't really understand that point, let's review it. But when you're talking to a group, even if it's a small group, 20, 30 people or 100, but especially if it's 500 or 1,000, you only get one pass. And you're trying to read the room and see what connects, what doesn't. But there's no opportunity to go back and re-explain. Like, you're just moving forward. Like, the train's going down the tracks. You're hoping as many people catch it as they can. But being able to make something relatable and doing that through stories and analogies rather than just doing what my profession does and dumping charts and figures. And here's another graph that I bet you haven't seen. People's eyes glaze over pretty quickly. They start tuning you out. And what I also realized is that finances is, again, it's a taboo subject. It's not something people are really willing to talk about, at least initially. So you have to soften it a little bit. And I think it takes vulnerability on the side of the speaker. If you want people to open up about a vulnerable subject, I think as a speaker, you have to lead. And I'm not saying just vomiting personal information, but allowing them to see who you really are. And rather than proving to them how much, taking off the armor a little bit and saying, hey, this is me, this is my story, this is how I got here, and here's how it shaped me to help you. That was something that I learned really early on, because in 2008, 2009, people weren't just worried about retirement. They were worried about their jobs. They were worried about losing everything. People were losing their houses. It wasn't about, hey, am I going to be okay 20 years from now? People were thinking, I don't know if I'm at my house 20 days from now. And all the intricate details of financial planning was not what they were wondering. They just were simply wondering, am I going to be okay? Look into my eyes and tell me, am I going to make it? That's what they needed to hear. And some people were not willing to change directions, but a lot of people were. They were like, what I'm doing is not working. Or maybe it was working, but should I still be doing it? Like, just tell me what to do going forward, because this is a really scary time.
Sometimes I think it has to get bad enough for you to be able to reach out and say, I haven't done this part. When your financial life is such an important part of your security, sense of security and confidence and success. It's all tied up into one. There are a lot of people out there that are just working like dogs. They work so hard all the time. They can't get ahead. And no matter how well they do in their profession, if they're getting acknowledgement or they know they're good at it, if you can't financially take care of your family, prepare for the future, that's going to make you feel one down in life. And I think being able to talk about it with someone, I think that's one of the scariest things to talk about. Is people will talk about their childhood and molestation and being abused by their parents much faster than they'll say, I made some really bad financial decisions and I'm this close to going under, because they don't want anybody to know. They're embarrassed and they feel compromised. And it's crazy. It's totally understandable. But if you need help in that area, go get it, because it's going to make all the difference.
And even on the other side of that spectrum, Kelly, there's people who actually are really successful and have a significant amount of wealth, but there's still something missing. There's still worries. There's still fear that's keeping up at night. And there's this, whether it's a cultural thing or maybe an individual's a psychological battle they have to fight, but it's maybe they have a couple $1,000,000 invested, or they've got some real estate. But like, I know I'm doing better than most people. I'm still fearful, but I can't share this with anybody because nobody's going to relate. But if we don't fix some of our behaviors and attitudes towards money, like I said earlier, more money doesn't give you more security. It just gives you more to worry about losing. There's a lot of people on both sides, people that are on the verge of losing everything and people that have a lot worried about losing everything. They're both experiencing a lot of the same fears. It just manifests itself differently. And both extremes and everybody in the middle, they're worried. They're afraid to raise their hand and saying, I have concerns. I have fears. And another thing too that you brought up, or I just want to touch on briefly, when it comes to this, like, money is often only spoken about in negative connotations. Like, a lot of us grew up, I didn't, but a lot of people grew up, the only time money was talked about it when there wasn't enough, when somebody lost a job, when somebody bought something they shouldn't have, and there was fighting, contention. So we have this idea that we just, you know, Kelly, you've got your money issues, I've got mine, you deal with yours, and I'll deal with mine, and we'll just both try to shove our fears off in the corner and not deal with it. And the problem with that is people don't change until the pain of change becomes worse than the pain of staying the same. And my encouragement to people is, don't wait for that moment. A lot of times it is a trigger. It's a loss of a spouse, a loss of a job, an injury that forces you to retire early. There's a triggering event. I can't push this off any longer. I had somebody call me last week. She's retiring in June. She's like, I need a plan. She works for one of the oil companies up here. So she's retiring in weeks. She's never had a plan. And the stress and anxiety of making this huge step alone was what finally forced her to reach out. But she's been feeling this way for 20 years. But she's
Once
just
again,
now
you don't
reaching
want to
out.
talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Exactly.
They put it off. It's almost like planning for your estate. People put that off. They don't want to put their trust together because then I got to make a decision. Who's getting what? How it's going to be divided? What do I really want to do with it? It's funny how we get trapped by our own mindset, by our own past.
And what ends up happening is we deal with maybe a low level, but chronic level of stress. Instead of just facing the conversation, sitting down with a professional and saying, okay, here's where I'm at. Here's who I am. Here's what's important to me. This is where I want to be. What does the course look like in between? They carry this low level, but still significant stress every single day. And just getting over that hump to deal with it is so important. And going back to your question about public speaking, that's where it becomes so powerful, because you get people in a room together. And if you can resonate with the audience, you get people looking around. They're like, there's dozens or maybe hundreds of other people in this room nodding their heads, feeling the exact same way that I am. I'm not alone. And there are other people feeling this exact. You can normalize the conversation in an instant when everybody looks around and says, okay, we're in this together. I'm not the weird one. I'll just give you a quick story. So biochemistry class, right? I remember this, it was physical chemistry. So it was basically like your hardest chemistry class mixed with your hardest physics class. It was rough. And I remember one time the professor explaining one of Einstein's theories, and he's like, does that make sense? And I look around the room and I'm like, nobody has a clue what this guy is talking about, but nobody wants to raise their hand. Nobody wants to say, yeah, I'm confused and scared. But that's what it takes, is normalizing that conversation. And I think public speaking is a phenomenal way to do that. And it allows people to build community around making a behavioral change. That's why things like CrossFit are important and impactful. It's not about the workouts themselves. It's about the community and the accountability that comes with it, because you're not doing it alone anymore. You're trying to make changes in your life, but you're not doing it on an island. You're doing it with a group who wants you to succeed, and you want them to succeed. And it creates real and sustainable momentum.
I love that. It allows you to set down your defenses, doesn't it?
It does.
When you have community and realize I'm not alone in all this, that I don't have the answers. It's okay, because somebody does, and we've all come here to get it. That's
exactly.
Beautiful. I think you have to be extraordinary at this. I can already tell, just extraordinary. So let me ask you, and this, tell me if this applies to you or not, but I sometimes like to ask someone when they're looking back on a long journey, what was a significant mistake or a challenge that ultimately became a turning point for you? I mean, it sounds like it's not financial, because you grew up with a sense of a blueprint from the beginning, like it was real easy for you to talk about and you had that path. And it sounds like family is ingrained as well. But was there ever a challenge for you that was felt ever anything ever that's come along that felt overwhelming that might have turned out to be either a turning point in your career, or it turned out to be a gift in disguise?
Oh, there's been so many. I think that's been a constant process. One of the big ones, though, is just learning how to have a better relationship with failure. Because as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, especially in this industry where, you know, essentially what you're doing is you're, whether it's a referral or somebody comes to an event, you're having this conversation where I'm saying, Kelly, I know we just met, or maybe somebody introduced us a little while ago, but we don't really know each other. But how would you like to entrust your family's financial future into my hands and help me guide you in to all the unknowns that the future holds and all the uncertainty that's ahead of us? That's a difficult conversation to have. You hear no a lot in various forms. Some people avoid you, some people blow you off, but there's a lot of, if you let it, there's a lot of feelings of rejection where you can feel personally rejected. And I had to frame that differently. I had to count my wins differently, because I set all these goals around outcomes. How many appointments I made, how many new clients I brought in. And I had to shift that, because I can't control those things, Kelly. What I can control is how many people I talk to. What I can control is how many people that I sit in front of and offer my best work to. And that goes into so many areas in life. But the tendency is we celebrate and reward outcomes and we ignore inputs. So if somebody's trying to lose weight, their goal might be, I want to lose 20 pounds by Christmas or whatever. That's the outcome. And that's what they're going to celebrate. But what they need to do is reward the inputs and reverse engineer that goal into things that they have complete control over. So they can't control completely if they lose 20 pounds by Christmas, but can they control if they stop eating after 6 p.m.? Yes. Can they control, I'm going to go to the gym 3 days this week, not seven. I'm not going to do Navy SEALs workouts for the next month, but I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to walk. And I'm going to start creating habits. I'm going to start voting for the better person I'm trying to become. And I can control that. And I'm going to build on that. And right now it might just be walking a mile three times a week. And in a month, maybe I'm running 3 miles four times a week. And then maybe I mix some weights in there. But I hope you see where I'm going with this. It's focusing on what I can control and learning to ignore the things that are outside of my influence. And that was a really hard lesson.
And celebrate the journey. Celebrate.
Exactly.
In the end, it's like, how do you feel about this? You are heading through life and you have a plan, you have a goal, right? However, what if you drop dead 5 miles from the goal and you didn't reach the goal? Who cares if you were, if that journey was getting you towards something you really wanted? You better be enjoying it along the way. All the benchmarks that you hit, all the things that you made along the way. People aren't really get focused on a singular goal, but truthfully, it's a long ride.
You know, I love that you said that. And so one of the chapters in my book is financial freedom is not a finish line. And there's two reasons for that. Number one is if we view it as a finish line, the tendency is what do you do when you cross a finish line? You stop. And too many people view financial independence or retirement as that's the end. That's the last chapter in the book. And I believe that if you don't have to go to work anymore and you have enough income from your investments to maintain your lifestyle, those years after that point should be the most fruitful and impactful of your life because you don't have to waste your time filling out TPS reports at your job anymore.
Yeah.
So go out and live the truest version of you to make the biggest impact in the lives of those around you. So we don't want to cross that barrier or cross that milestone and stop and slow down. It's a new course. It's a new chapter. The other side is exactly what you talked about is the tendency to always be looking to be so focused on that finish line that we miss the journey, we miss the race. And there's too many people that cross that finish line. They retire, they've got millions of dollars, and they've traded away their health and their relationships to build wealth. And is this all there is? I sacrificed all these things. I actually, one of the guys we interviewed for the book, he said, I have more money than I ever thought I could ever have. More money I ever thought was attainable. I'm in my mid-50s. I have my whole life ahead of me. I have nobody to share it with because I've sacrificed every meaningful relationship along the way. And I work now, not because I have to, because I don't know what else to do.
Oh, that's the worst. That's just the worst story. I agree with you. I know I can think of somebody right now that has made, it's got about $10 million and nobody to share it with and hasn't learned any people skills, no relationship skills. And now you're 65 and it's a little late to start the dating game without any skills in place. And so that sounds like a very lonely existence. Money won't keep you warm and happy. Might keep you more comfortable, but it will not keep you happy, motivated, excited.
And think about it from the health aspect too, for people who are so focused on their career and making money that they sacrifice their health in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, and then they hit 65 and they're now spending their wealth trying to buy back their health. So that's the beautiful thing about having a financial plan that allows you to find the balance. Like, how much money do I need to send to my future self every month? And how much can I enjoy in the moment? How much can I celebrate the journey along the way, but also protect my future self in the sense of health and relationships so we don't sacrifice too much for the future? And a lot of people miss that because they don't know how much they're going to need. So they're always trying to save more. They're saving and investing as much as they can, and they actually sacrifice too much in the present, and they're missing the journey. They're missing the beautiful journey of life, and then they get to that finish line, and they don't know how to enjoy it.
This has been a most interesting interview. I want to ask you, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want my legacy to be that I knew Chad, or I worked with Chad's people in Veritas Wealth Management, And I have a better life because of it. I have more freedom and joy and more people to share it with because I interacted with Chad and his company. That's what I want.
Then let me ask you, what accomplishment of all the things that you've done and the mountains that you've scaled, what is the thing that you're most proud of?
Right now, I am the most proud of my six kids and my beautiful wife who homeschools my six kids.
Wow.
And we talk about people's money frame changing. My wife actually grew up homeless for a period of her life. She even remembers having a Christmas in a homeless shelter. And she's been through a lot. And it hasn't always been easy for us. And my kids have seen some of that as well, especially the early days in the business when I did not feel equipped to be a father and a husband because the business was it was growing so slowly. I have a hard, I'll be honest, having a hard time keeping food on the table. And but I have six beautiful kids, and tonight a couple of them have football games. We're gonna drive out in the snow and rain or whatever it's doing at the time. And I love the laughter and the celebration. And they're still young. Our oldest is almost 16. Our youngest is four. So there's a lot of raising kids still in our future. But I'm so grateful and proud of my kids and my wife and the family that we have.
Oh my gosh, I walk away from this interview feeling I couldn't like you more and cannot wait to find out more about you and what you're doing and what exciting projects are coming up for you that you want to share with us.
You mentioned the book. As we're recording this, the book released 2 weeks ago on Kindle. It was supposed to, the paperback was supposed to come out the same day. I'm learning a lot through this process, but by the time this episode releases, I'm sure the paperback will be available. But I'm excited about what the trajectory of that can look like. Because you talk about speaking, and a book is even harder in some ways than speaking because and when you're talking to an audience, you can get a feel and get an energy from the audience. When you're writing a book, you don't ever get to see your audience. Now, I do believe the book will lead to more speaking opportunities. And that is my hope because what we're trying to do with the book is scale the message. It forced me to get my stories and my analogies and my experience out of my head into a medium that we can share and my team can use it. And I can use it as a backdrop to more speaking opportunities because what I talked about at the beginning, I want a job where I can impact a lot of lives, but I didn't want a job that owned me. And through a book and through podcasts and through speaking, it allows me to scale our message, allows my team to engage and to share it more broadly, but it doesn't have to run our lives. And it's a great way to connect with people. So I'm really excited about that. We brought on two new advisors that are rock stars. They're going to help us with that. That came from a huge capital management firm that he came over because, you know what? I've been doing institutional investing for a long time. I want to see the families it's impacting. I want to sit eyeball to eyeball with a family and talk about their dreams and the goals and see the impact that my work is having. And I was like, I need to have you here because that's the attitude we want to have. So those a couple of just really exciting things. And it's just like you said before, this world is full of so much opportunity. And I'm excited for what the future holds.
I'm thrilled for you, and I want to give you a huge thank you for coming on today and sharing what is really extraordinary, a wealth of knowledge for us. But I love that it's so balanced and that there's such a wide scope of how you go about connecting with people and changing their perspective. And your journey is really a testament to the power of passion and perseverance and purpose combined, and I love your commitment to helping others towards financial freedom, and that it's alongside devotion to family felt and faith and intentional living. Sounds like that's very much at the core of who you are. So that's nothing short of remarkable these days, as we talked about. It really is. I'm so appreciative of you being here.
It's been a blessing to be here, and I really appreciate our conversation, your great questions, your energy, and this has been an inspiration to me. Thank you.
Perfect conversation. To our listeners, if you are eager to delve deeper into Chad's world of financial empowerment, go over to veritasalaska.com. You're going to find an incredible treasure trove of resources to guide you on your financial journey. And I think you ought to grab a copy of Chad's book, Forging Financial Freedom. And you can go to forgingfinancialfreedom.com. Can they buy this on Amazon as well?
Yep. And if they go through Forging Financial Freedom, though, there's some bonuses that we'll throw out as well to help them apply the knowledge that they're going to learn. Because I always say that education is important, but lives change through execution. So we want to move people from merely just bringing in the information, help them apply it in their life. So there's some bonuses to help if they go through forgingfinancialfreedom.com.
Definitely go there. I think that's very exciting. I may be the first person on it. I'm excited about this book, and it really walks you through the steps that you need to get in control of your financial future. I think we could all use that. I can think about several people that could use that right now personally. So with that, it's a wrap for today's episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. Huge thanks to our listeners for tuning in and being part of what I think is a fabulous community. I feel really blessed. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to share, comment. I love to see your comments. And of course, we love it when you subscribe, because then it lets us do more inspiring conversations like this one. Your support fuels our mission to showcase the transformative power of public speaking. I want to extend a special thank you to our sponsor, SpeakerTunity.com. Whether you're a seasoned speaker or you're just dipping your toes into the world of public speaking, SpeakerTunity.com has the tools and connections you need to elevate your voice and amplify your impact. And with that said, this is Kelly O'Hara, your host, signing off. Remember, your voice has the power to inspire, influence, and ignite change in your business and beyond. So keep speaking up, keep sharing your message, and keep making your difference. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. I want to thank you for joining us on this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. If you found value in today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an empowering conversation. We'd also appreciate it if you could leave us a review and share the show with your friends, colleagues, and your fellow visionaries. Until next time, keep speaking, keep growing, and keep reaching to make your difference. This is Kelly O'Hara, signing off from the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.